Let's take the Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 57 to 66. Now, reverence to God, please stand in this word and read. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 57. Now, the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. Then her relatives, or her neighbors and relatives, heard that the Lord had shown her his great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, "No, he will be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, "What then will this child become? For indeed, the Lord's hand was with him." May you see him. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 1, and we were looking at Mary's words of praise after she had met with her cousin Elizabeth, and the baby John in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy. And Elizabeth said to Mary, "How is it that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me?" Mary recognized that Elizabeth's greeting was not something normal. She recognized that God was working in both their lives, and that the older woman, Elizabeth, said to the younger woman, Mary, "I'm blessed because you're here, because you are the mother of my Lord." Earlier, Mary had been told by Gabriel that she's going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and will bring God's salvation into the world. And then Gabriel gives her a sign, saying, "Your cousin, Elizabeth, who is said to be unable to have children, she is the child right now. It's even her fifth month." Mary then rushes off to see Elizabeth. And as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, that's when John jumps for joy inside her. And then Mary responds by giving credit to God. Some people look at Mary's, what's called Magnificat, her praise of God, and say Mary's calling the focus on herself. But no, she's pointing to God. Now, I understand that there's a football game this afternoon down in Houston. And I'm going to tell you, I almost 100% guarantee you, if somebody scores a touchdown, they're going to be dancing, going, "Look at me, the guy that made the touchdown." Very few that make touchdowns in the NFL give credit to God. Some do. One of them got ostracized by the league for daring to give credit to God for being able to have the athletic ability to make a touchdown. But most want to focus on themselves. Mary is focusing on God. She has chosen to remember that she is a sinner also. Look at verse 46. And Mary says, My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. See what going? Yeah, I am so important. I'm such a good person. No, I need a Savior, just like all of us. Mary understood that she was just a vessel being used by God to accomplish God's plan. But she knew also that it was a blessing to be part of what God was doing. She didn't have the arrogance that some, and I remember back when there was a boxer named Muhammad Ali. And he would always go, "I'm the greatest." Well, he was a very great boxer. But the greatest of all the universe took away his athletic ability later in life. I remember seeing they had him try to run, and carry the Olympic torch one year, and he could barely move. One person that had explained about how great he was met the hand of the Almighty God and took away his ability. God is the greatest, not man. And that's why Mary says in verse 46, the greatness of our Lord. And then she says, surely from now on, generations will call me blessed. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm so important. So, Mary's saying, all generations will say, I got a great gift. I got the best gift that ever could be given. I am blessed by God. Not that you need to bless me. No, I'm the one that's receiving the blessing from God. And then, he tells us about her understanding and how she has studied Scripture. Now, and she doesn't go say, well, I really studied Scripture. No, but no. Her comments reflect that she knew Scripture. Look at verse 50. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their throne and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. When I read that part about he has satisfied the hungry, 30 years later, Jesus is going to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus will also say, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man. And that's the eye of a sowing needle. There, some people try to make it seem it's possible, and they found this real small gate that a camel has to get down on its knees to crawl through. And say, oh, this is the needle gate. There's no historical evidence for that. Somebody's just trying to say that it's impossible for the rich. You can't buy your way to heaven. The rich come to salvation the same way as before. Recognizing we need forgiveness for our sin. Everyone comes to God the same way. You cannot get there because of your wealth. Bill Gates has no closer place in line to getting to God than the guy who's homeless. We all have to recognize our sinners and repent of our sin. This morning on the news, I was seeing that there was a ceremony marking the anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. The Battle of the Bulge was in 1945 from December 16th, Christmas Day, December 25th. And it was the last major offensive of the Germans during World War II. But I'm reminded there are a lot of things that we look at things that are points in time in which things are not going to be the same anymore. Apollo 11, the Eagle has landed, and a man stepped down the spacecraft on another heavenly body. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. In Dallas, there was a parade, and John F. Kennedy was assassinated. There was a spacecraft that took off and a Challenger that exploded a few minutes later. September 11th, 2001, two planes crashed into the World Trade Center buildings. All these events are things that we can remember. December 7th, 1941, things that changed how the world was viewed by others. July 4th, 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. All these are events that mark the change. You go, why did I do that? Why did I give that illustration? Because the birth of John is that kind of event. It's been 400 years since there had been a prophet in Israel. And the last prophet, Malachi, had said, there's going to be a prophet like Elijah coming before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he couldn't talk. He hadn't been able to talk for 9 months. But you know, even if you can't talk, you can make signs, you can convey, and even in our passage today, give me something to write on and I'll tell you the message. Zechariah surely had conveyed the message about his encounter with Gabriel and how Gabriel said, you're going to have a son that's going to prepare the way for the Lord. Mary had stayed with Elizabeth from her 6 months or 9 months, so she's probably there at the birth of John too, and then she goes home. Well, Elizabeth gave birth to a son, and all the neighbors and relatives are rejoicing with her. And they're giving praise to God because of God's mercy on Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, her name means God of the covenant or God of the oath or the one that believes God's covenant and oath. Elizabeth recognized the special place that God had given her. 8 days after a Jewish child is born, the child is circumcised. And that's when they give the official naming. And so they came to circumcise John. And what are you going to call him? The rabbis there and the other important people from the community, because this is a big day in the community. And they said, well, let's name him Zechariah after his father. Elizabeth says, no, his name will be John. Now, Zechariah, that name means Jehovah remembers. As I mentioned earlier, we remember a lot of events that change things. There are a lot of things that we can remember from the past. If we'd been there, we'd done something different. But in that moment, we're not always the one that want to do things. July 4th, 1776. It wasn't 100% consensus among the British colonies in the New World to rebel against the British government. Matter of fact, a lot of the people that we call our founding fathers now are called troublemakers by a lot of their neighbors. They're just going to get us in trouble. You know, if we don't like this taxes, but if we do something, you know, it's just going to get worse. And those troublemakers, they're trying to make things worse for us. Of course, we would say now, over 200 years later, if I'd been there, I've been in Boston Harbor throwing the tea over the side of the ship. It's easy to say now, because there's not the danger, because we know that the war was won. What's going on in the time of the birth of John? The Roman government is in charge. The promises of the Messiah, he's going to set everything right with Israel and put them back in the place they should be, which means there's going to be a confrontation with the Romans. Things are not going to get better for us. It's like the time 100 years ago that they're saying when Judas Maccabees led a revolt against the Greeks. It was not good during that time, but it ended up good. But now we have another government that is going to make things difficult for us. Why don't you just call his name God Remembers? Because it's easy just to remember the past and not do anything in the present. The name John, John is Jehovah has given graciously. Jehovah is going to give a gift right now. Well, let's just remember the past. Let's not do anything right now. Maybe Zechariah will change. Hey, Zechariah! What do you want his name to be called? Zechariah motioned for a writing tablet and something to write with it. Say, his name is John. It said the people were amazed. Now, why were they amazed? That's the thought, because why would they be amazed? Okay. It's just a name. In Hebrew culture, a name is not just a name. It carries on a meaning of what that person that bears that name is going to do for the rest of their life. Jesus, his name means God saves. His name, Zechariah says, is God is giving graciously. Now the people might be amazed. Why didn't he listen to us? We said they should be called something else. Or are they amazed because Zechariah wasn't in the room when Elizabeth said his name's going to be John? And they both agreed? Or were they amazed that it's been hundreds of years, and God's going to complete his promise that he gave. Many houses across our communities have Christmas trees in them. When the Christmas tree goes up, that means Christmas is coming. When the forerunner of the Messiah shows up, that means the Messiah is coming. So when it's clear John is going to be that forerunner, God is going to complete his promises. That means it's about time for Messiah to get here. Turn with me to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 4, verse 1. This is what the Hebrew people understood. For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies. Remember the instructions of Moses, my servant, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Look, I am going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. On the news this morning, two 16-year-olds died in Houston. They had gone into a vacant building and they had one of those internet surprise parties. You know, they just post on social media, we're going to have a party at this place. Got into a fight. And two people were shot. But they can't get any evidence. Because when the police arrived, everybody ran away. Why are they afraid at the coming of John? Because the Lord of armies is coming. And those that are evildoers run away. The Gospel of John says everyone who does evil will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. We need to understand the thinking of the time of the birth of John. It's like you're at an illegal party and you see the police flashing lights heading in your direction and you know you've done wrong. You know justice is about to come. Verse 65 of Luke 1. Fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. God's coming back soon. We need to get right. What's going to happen when he returns? Malachi says it's a terrible day. God's going to bring justice. You should be afraid. There's two fears of the Lord that we need to understand. If you're not a Christian, you need to fear the judgment of God. If you are a Christian, the fear of the Lord talks about, are you concerned about what God thinks about what you're doing, saying, and acting? You're not going to lose your salvation if you sin, but you're going to disobey God. The fear of man is a snare. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Zechariah, after he writes down, his name is John, he begins praising God. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous people. Zechariah had been praying for the coming of the Lord's Messiah. It wasn't that he was silent before the birth of John. Now, he was silent for 9 months, but he was a priest. He had been talking about getting ready for God's coming. He couldn't talk for 9 months, but he made it clear, I'm sure, that it's coming. What I've been talking about for all these years is coming. God's going to fulfill his promise. And news spread all over the hill country of Judea. Not the hill country of Texas, but yeah, you should get there now, too. Because we need a fear of the Lord in the hill country of Texas as well as the hill country of Judea. I mentioned that the news talking about 2 16-year-olds dying this morning. Most of what you hear in the news is bad news on TV. But this was good news in the hill country of Judea. God is about to fulfill the promises. Now there's going to be a little trouble because the Romans aren't going to like that. And it might be a little uncomfortable for us. But if we're focused on God, it's all going to work out. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, what then will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand was with him. And many who said that 30 years later could have been the ones down by the Jordan River that were following John as he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We, at this time of year, have all kinds of celebrations. And if you work in a public facility, it is okay to say Christmas, legally. But it should be okay to say Christmas whether we're going to be thrown in jail for it or not. Merry Christmas. For unto us a child is born. Why do we need Christmas? Because if Jesus never came, we would have no forgiveness of our sins, and all we would have to look forward to is eternity in heaven. This would be as good as it ever gets if Jesus never came. For the Christian, the truth is, the life we live on planet Earth right now is as bad as it's ever going to get. Because it's only getting better for me. For the non-Christian, yes, if you reject the offer of God's gift, this is as good as it gets. Life here on planet Earth. Because what comes next is the fires of hell that never go out. It says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the gnashing of teeth is something people do when they're angry. They're weeping. I don't belong here. And it's somebody else's fault that I'm here. They're mad at God. They're in hell. Even though God gave them an opportunity. We see this a lot of times when they consequences of sin come upon us. People like to blame God for bad things happening. And God wants to bring the greatest gift to us, eternity with him in heaven, that nothing can take away. Why do we need Christmas? Because we have no hope for it. Let's remember to tell people the true need of Christmas. Stand with me for our glory. Lord, I thank you for what you've been offering us, the greatest gift, a gift of forgiveness for our sins. And not only forgiveness, but an invitation to be with you forever in heaven, where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, where the old has passed away, new has come. A lot of people in the world don't want to accept the truth. We can't make them accept the truth, but we can tell them the truth. Let us rejoice during this time of year when people are at least partially focused on you. Let us explain the whole truth. Thank you, pray our situation. Jesus. Mary.